You have a weapon?
Yeah, a big one. How about you?
You sure you want to get cute with me? You have a backup weapon?
Never had the need.
Get one. Keep that in your suit unless I tell you to take it out. Get yourself a Glock. Lose that nickel-plated sissy pistol.
Cherry Coat Town. Mama and Daddy put the roots right here. This is where the car broke down. Yellow dog stool bus kicking up red dust, picking us up by barbed wire fence. MTV on the RCA, no AC in the vents. We were Jesus, Sammy, blue jean baby, born in the USA. Trailer park, truck stop, faded little map, Dodge, New York to LA.
Sexy thing for living way out here on the Survival Circle Network. Yep, Amy's back on weeknights except Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time with an hour of trivia, fun, and interesting stories. Join her for living way out here.
I don't like to brag, but we're kind of proud of that ragged old flag.
You see, we got a little hole in that flag there when Washington took it across.
Does this country remind you of the America that you grew up in? Do your children enjoy the same freedoms that you did when you were young?
Do you think that you can take me on? You must be crazy. There ain't a single thing you've done that's gonna faze me.
Just how far are you willing to be pushed? When are we gonna put our collective foot down and tell the tyrant, get off of my back?
Yeah, get off of my back and into my car.
I'm Cope Reynolds. And if you're tired of the same old sugar-coated mush-mouth monologue of talk radio, join me for The Shooting Bench, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Central. Guns, self-defense, survival, current events are just a few of the topics that we'll discuss on The Shooting Bench. And we're going to start discussing them right now.
Have you forgotten?
All right, here we are, and welcome to The Shooting Bench. Amy's not going to be here tonight, so I'm going to do a couple of things in her memory here, but this is basically going to be a two-hour Shooting Bench. So welcome. It's the 12th of May, and it's a Tuesday. Amy will not be on at all tomorrow night, and I will not either. So I don't know what you're going to do tomorrow night. You're just going to have to all sit around and play pinochle or something. Because neither one of us are going to be here. So we've got Amy's is not usually on Wednesdays. And I will be taking a short road trip to go and visit with my son a little bit. I hadn't seen him in a good while. So that was the only time that we could make it work. So I have to apologize in advance for that. But that's the way it has to be. So okay. Well, to start with, let me go in and see what all we've got in here tonight. Let me cruise up here and see. Looks like we've got old Eddie Crump starting to make a habit of this. That's good. He's catching up with some of the other guys here. And Minnie's in there. And Bright Angel, Concretin. Got one anonymous there. Let's see what else we got. Pumpkin Cat, Rights at Risk, Mountain Shooter, Goat Moog. And looks like, yeah, there'll be some more coming in here shortly. So, all right. Well, we've got just a handful of birthdays here. Let me click a couple of buttons here so we can make all of this happen. Come on, happen. There we go. And we've got some Amy-related stories, and then we'll just kind of blend right in with some other stuff here. So, let's get on here first with our birthdays. It is your birthday today. Happy birthday. And we'll give you a few people that you're sharing this day with.
Happy birthday, happy birthday, happy, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, happy birthday, happy, happy birthday. I want to do something special for you.
You don't need to check here first. Let me look again, make sure that the sound is working. Well, I guess so. There's people saying hello, so I reckon it is. Okay. Birthdays. Let me find my birthday list here. Start with Florence Nightingale. Remember, she was Florence, Italy, I think. Florence, Italy. Anyway, nurse. And you might know this name, Mary Ash. You girls know that name? Maybe you would recognize it better as Mary Kay Ash. Founded Mary Kay Cosmetics in 2001. She was born on this day in 1915. George Carlin, really needs no introduction. Comedian, born on this day in 1937. And how about this song? Just remind you of roller skating? Billy Swan. I always kind of liked that song. He had a few good songs. Born on this day in 1942. And who else we got here? Oh, you probably remember these guys. I know some of you do.
Finger now.
David Walker. David Walker was the keyboardist for Gary Lewis and the Playboys. And he was born on this day in 1943. On this day in 1955, Kix Brooks. Kix Brooks of Brooks and Dunn fame.
Out in the country, past the city limit sign, where there's a honky tonk near the counter line. The joint starts jumping every night when the sun goes down. They got whiskey.
Yeah, they got a lot of good songs. I like Brooks and Dunn. I got quite a few of them that I like pretty well. Let's see. I think that does it for our birthdays. Let me get a little bit of this clutter out of the way here. And let's see if we got any history stuff going on. I think there's a little bit. Yeah, you know, I didn't have any idea that universities as such went back so far, but there, the San Marcos University opened in Lima, Peru on this day in 1551. I would have never thought that universities, I mean, I know that there were, I mean, even Jesus sat around and taught people, and I know there were schools, and but I don't know, I guess I never really never gave it a whole lot of thought, but I would have figured, you know, late 1700s maybe for actual universities. On this day in 1551, 1777, on this day, the first ice cream advertisement. That was in the New York Gazette. 1898, Louisiana adopts a new constitution with the grandfather clause in it designed to eliminate black voters. And a lot of things have changed since back in those days. Eddie Crump says, my sound is working good. Okay. Thanks, everybody, for the input there. Must be a lot of people out practicing their shooting tonight or harassing liberals or doing something out. We got kind of a slim pickings tonight, but I'm glad you guys have taken the time out to come in here and spend with us here. All right, I got this one story here that would be an Amy story, and then we'll move on to some other things. But she wanted me to do this one for. Mainly, it's a kind of a public service type thing, a warning. Again, now the reason she was interested in this is because she used to go to tanning beds real frequently, and she has long since quit. That was a long time ago. She finally got smart and quit doing it. But there's a gal here, young gal, and I tell you, she is absolutely stunningly gorgeous, or she was. Her name's Tawny Willoughby. And when in her teenage years, she said she used to use tanning beds at least 4 times a week because her tans faded too fast. Well, they fade because you don't get out in the sun. You sit in a classroom or living room or a nickel arcade or whatever, then, yeah, tans go away. So she went at least 4 times a week. By the time she was 21, she was diagnosed with skin cancer. Since then, she's had basal cell carcinoma 5 times and squamous cell carcinoma once. She visits her dermatologist every 6 to 12 months and usually has a little skin cancer thing removed every checkup. I'm going to see, I think I can put this picture in the chat room. I'm going to tell you what, this girl is, she's a looker. No doubt about it. See if I can put this picture in the chat room for you. There you go. Check that out. Yep. Not too shabby, I'd say. So, anyway, she's had these various cancers. She's 27 now. She's a mother now. She's has put pictures of herself now on Facebook. And I tell you what, I got to give her a lots and lots of credit to be so beautiful and to have this happen to her and to share this with other people in hopes that she can encourage other people not to make the mistakes that she did. She said, if anyone needs a little motivation to not lay in the tanning bed and sun, well, here you go. This is what skin cancer treatment can look like. Wear sunscreen and get a spray tan. You only get one skin, and you should take care of it. Learn from other people's mistakes. Don't let tanning prevent you from seeing your children grow up. That's my biggest fear now, that I have a 2.5-year-old boy, or that I have a 2-year-old boy of my own. Let's see. To answer a few questions and comments I've seen. Now, remember, this is Amy's way of sharing some information. She don't want this to happen to anybody. So she said, I did the bulk of my tanning in high school. I probably laid an average of 4 to 5 times a week, frequently because my tan, it was that frequent because my tan faded very fast. I never laid in the tanning bed and the sun the same day. I never laid in the tanning bed twice in one day. I had my first skin cancer diagnosis when I was 21. Now at 27, I've had those things I told you about a while ago, basal cell carcinoma 5 times and the other one once. I go to the dermatologist every 6 to 12 months. Okay, we already got all that. Get any suspicious new and growing spot checked out, anything that doesn't heal, possibly bleeds on and off and crusts. And the sooner you find it, the less likely it will leave a disfiguring scar or grow deep enough to metastasize. Melanoma kills. Non-melanoma disfigures and can also kill. Don't be a statistic. Hey, I've heard that phrase before. This treatment was done using a cream called Aldara. I've also had the following treatments. I don't even know how to pronounce all this stuff, but it's looked like it's been a whole bunch of stuff. Happy to answer any questions. So if you want to go to, she is a nurse. She's from Alabama. She said if anyone, let's see, that's what we've already read. All right, we don't have to go in there. So you can find her on Facebook if you want to go in there. She said she's willing to answer questions. Tawny Willoughby, TawnyWilloughby. Tawny Willoughby. Well, you saw that picture of what she used to look like. Let me check and see. All right, let me throw this one in there. This is what she looks like now. Whoops, wrong one. Let me get rid of that one. Let's try this again. Let's see if this works better. All right, let me throw this in here and see if this is the right one. This one may not work. Let me see if we can make this one work here. Stand by just a second. Let me play with this a little bit. And I don't know if that one's going to work. You guys can click on that link and see if it works for you. And I'll try this a little bit more here. And see. Nope, I can't make it work. Well, click on that link, and you can see what she looks like now. And you've got to know that as pretty as she was in that other picture, that really, I think, took a lot of guts to get in there and put this other picture up on Facebook and offer her help. I think that's pretty cool.
Can't leave you, even though. With Cope Reynolds at 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern. Don't miss it. Join Cope for 2 full hours of political incorrectness, current events, gun talk, and so much more.
Grab an earful of liberty.
What is it the gentlemen wish? What would they have? Is life so dear and peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of pens and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God!
Listen to Kit Lang on the Patrick Henry Society every Friday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Survival Circle Network.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death!
Never sounded so good.
There was 40 feet between them when they stopped to make their play. And the swiftness of the Ranger is still talked about today.
Texas red and not cleared leather for a bullet fairly ripped. And the Ranger's aim was deadly with the big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip.
Okay, we got a... Got a couple of funny stories here and a couple of pictures I hope I can post in there for you. And for this next little segment here, these next two stories, I've got a theme song here just especially for these stories.
He's on TV where macho reigns, no common sense, he ain't got no brains. When the boom hits the guy, don't waste time, don't ask why, that's the moron. When you find twisted spine, cause he crashed through some sign, that's the moron. Bells will ring, ting-a-ling-a-ling, then you start to sing with a little falsetto. Then he'll sway, tippy-tippy-tay, then he's gonna pay when he cracks his patella. When some young crazy fool tries to jump across the pool, that's a moron. When he flies from a tree, finds he's cracked up to be just a nut. When you walk on a beam, and you know you'll be screaming in Bartolain. Excuse me, but you see that third thing on TV, that's a moron. When the boom hits the sky, don't waste time, don't ask why, that's a moron. When you find twisted spine, teeth need all realigned, that's a moron. Bells will ring, ting-a-ling-a-ling, ting-a-ling-a-ling, when that thing rings his bell. Then he'll sway, tippy-tippy-tay, then he's gonna pay when he cracks his patella. Young crazy goof goes and jumps off the roof, that's a moron. Leave the shows to the pros who get paid through the nose to be dumb. When you slide down a beam and you know you'll be screaming in mortal pain. Excuse me, but you see, certified guarantee, that's a moron. That's a moron.
Yeah, that's Florida wins the prize today. For the morons coming out here. The Z7, I don't know why Infidel can't get on the chat. I mean, it's got to be on his end, so maybe you can help him out. I'm not sure if I can't help him if I can't see what's going on. But I'm going to be up there in a couple of weeks, so if he hadn't got it figured out by then, I'll see if I can help him. Anyway, moron stories out of Florida. First one here. Guy named Jeff Waters walked into the Bank of America and attempted to cash a check for $368 billion with a B, Bravo, dollars. The check that he'd written to cash was supposedly from U.S. Bank of Idaho and issued in the 90s. And the tellers, really on their toes, say they were immediately suspicious. You think?
Why would you be suspicious because a guy walked in to cash a check for $368 billion? He explained to the bank that he, a homeless man named Tito Watts sold him the blank check several months ago for $100 and told Waters the check would clear for any amount of money that Waters wanted to write it for. Now, I have no words for this, except that's a moron. Sold him a blank check for $100, told him it would clear for anything you wanted to put on it. So Waters decided he wanted $368 billion to start an Italian restaurant. And son, I want you to know that for $368 billion, bravo with a B dollars, you could start a damn restaurant. I mean, what a fine restaurant it would be. You could start a whole chain of them. You could put them in every country in the world. $368 billion to start a restaurant. It's always been my dream to own the best Italian restaurant in the earth, he said. I'm 10% Italian. Cooking authentic Italian food is in my blood. Really? I had planned to make the restaurant eighty million square feet and able to accommodate 30 million eaters at once. Plus it was going to be totally underwater so people could look at sharks while they ate. But the bank wouldn't give me my money they owed me. Tito said the check was good for any amount I wanted to write it for, so blame Tito, not me. I'm as innocent as a schoolgirl. He dumb as one, too. In addition to the forgery count, Waters was charged with unlawfully carrying Chinese throwing stars and possessing bath salts. Okay, now we know the rest of the story. He was released after posting a $23,000 bail. Now, I'm guessing, well, he probably cashed that $368 billion check to get that bail money. I'm going to put a picture of this in here, and I think it will become fairly obvious that bath salts may have had something to do with this guy's decision here. So let's see if that, there you go. Yeah, see what you think about that. Did that, let me know if that picture came up. The, getting all kinds of advice here to get Infidel back on the, back in there with us. I don't know what the heck. He texted me here a week or so ago. And I couldn't help him. I don't know what, without being there. That's right. Italian food's in his blood, but not arithmetic. 10% Italian and authentic Italian food is in his blood. Something's in his blood. I can tell you that for damn sure. And I doubt if it's Italian food. So here's another one. Also out of Florida. That's a moron. Yep, there's another one. Jeff Gaylord, 37 years old, went into the Jacksonville Sheriff's Office. And that was today, by golly, May 12, 2015. On this very day in history, Jeff Gaylord entered the Jacksonville Sheriff's Office and turned himself in for what, you ask? Well, nice of you to mention that. He turned himself in for murdering his friend. Yeah, the only trouble with it, though, his friend, his name Mr. Happy, was his imaginary friend. Yeah. He told officers there that he'd stabbed Mr. Happy repeatedly with a kitchen knife, cut up the body with a hatchet, and buried him in the backyard. There you have it. So he was quite remorseful, he said. He wanted the death penalty, and preferably right now. He said he killed his imaginary friend of 7 years for multiple reasons. One, for being messy. Now, if there was ever anything that required murdering, being messy is one of them. He said his room was a mess all the time with his toys and dolls. He left his empty vodka bottles all over the kitchen. He never picked up his empty cocaine baggies and left the toilet seat down when he peed. He messed up my apartment to the point where I just couldn't get it clean. Before Hap started doing drugs and acting weird, he was my BFF, best friend forever. We'd go dancing, play on the children's park equipment, both huge fans of doom metal, listen to it for hours with the lights turned off. Gaylord said he and Mr. Happy had grown very unhappy in their relationship and hadn't had a real conversation in at least a year. And I can understand that. I can see why that wouldn't happen. The breaking point came when Mr. Happy crashed Mr. Gaylord's Nissan Altima after the friends had been out celebrating Mr. Happy's birthday at Hooters. And now we're getting somewhere. I would go with an imaginary friend to Hooters. I would have to, actually. Which resulted in Mr. Gaylord being arrested instead of Mr. Happy. The drunk driving incident I got unfairly blamed for and just how messy he had become put me over the edge and I murdered him. It was an overreaction. I should have listened to the neighbor lady and got us into counseling. But no, I had to do the unthinkable and killed my best friend. I'm a terrible, terrible person, and I need to be punished. Police said Gaylord was extremely intoxicated and threatened to kill police after they told him they could not give him the death penalties for his crime. So they took him into custody, got a search warrant for his house, where they found drug paraphernalia and a machine gun. Oh, boy, what a combination. He was booked on multiple charges. Bail has not been set. So there you go. That's what happens when... Let me put a picture of... what's his name in here? I don't know if that's coming up there or not. But... yeah, he stabbed his imaginary friend with an imaginary knife and cut his imaginary pieces up and put them in an imaginary hole and covered it up with imaginary dirt. And then when they found all of his drug paraphernalia, as luck would have it, it was not imaginary. So, anyway, he doesn't look happy at all in that picture. He's just crushed, you can tell. And he's going to be so pissed at Mr. Happy when he finds out that he's going to go to jail for a long, long time for all that drug stuff that Mr. Happy happened to leave there after he was murdered and packed away in the backyard there somewhere. So... Yeah, so Mr. What's his name here, just getting a bad break all the way around. He just seems to be a poop magnet, is what it amounts to. Well, all righty then. Whatever you think. Now, who says that smoking and whiskey and all that stuff is necessarily bad for you? America's oldest, undisputed oldest military vet celebrates his 109th birthday yesterday with cigars, burgers, and guns. Oldest living World War II veteran Richard Overton turned 109 years young yesterday on May 11th, celebrating with cigars, burgers, whiskey, milkshake, and guns. He said, I might just have to restructure my life and... This is the narrator here, which is me, I guess. I might just have to restructure my life and follow his examples for longevity. The proud Texan from the Austin area still drives his car, manages his own lawn, and still has time to escort widows to church on Sunday. Celebrated this amazing milestone with his outdoor soiree, I guess. That included a very appropriate theme entitled Mighty, Mighty Fine at 109. Although he has a party every year, this one hit a bit more special as Mighty Fine Burgers, Fries, and Shakes sponsored the event. That's a local hamburger joint there. As would be expected, people are always asking him the secret to long life. He said, simply, complete honesty. And no, he said, simply replies with complete honesty that it really isn't up to him. You have to ask God about that. He brought me here and he's taking care of me and nothing I can do about it. I can talk about what he's doing for me. Has his own Wikipedia page. He was born Richard Arvine Overton, May 11, 1906, in Bastrop County, and served in the Pacific Theater from 1942 to 1945 as part of the All Black 1887th Engineer Aviator Battalion, whose responsibilities included building and maintaining airfields. He returned from the war, began working in an Austin furniture store, and worked until he was around 100. I recently had the honor of visiting with Richard at his home in Austin, Texas. Now he credits his health and longevity to smoking cigars, drinking whiskey, and being able to defend himself and his country with firearms. He's hung out with everyone from the president and senators and celebrities. I want to do something different with Richard since this is... I ask him to show me some of his own personal firearms. The Washington Post stated that Overton never believed our country would have a black president and met President Obama in 2013 at the Arlington National Cemetery, where the president made special mention of his accomplishments. When the war ended, Richard headed home to Texas, to a nation bitterly divided by race, and his service on the battlefield was not always matched by the respect that he deserved at home. But this veteran held his head high, he carried on and lived his life with honor and dignity. All I can say is my hat's off to you, sir. You're a shining example. Yeah, well, shut up. Don't need Obama's commentary there. So there you go, 109 years old. He's got a picture here holding a Browning Auto 5 shotgun. Another one here holding a Tommy gun. I'm assuming that it is a semi-automatic or a replica, one or the other. Maybe he may legally own a fully automatic Tommy gun. That would be cool. Let me see if I can throw a picture in here for you of him. 109 years old. The let's see. Okay, yeah, I think that's going to come up there. All right. There's, let me see if we can squeeze one more short one in here before break time. May have to do a little switching around here during the break. I hate to get into some of these. Well, let me get into this one here. I don't want to do any jackbooted thug stories with all the fun we've been having here for a little while. So this one will be kind of in between there, and then we'll change gears after the top of the hour break and dive into some other stuff here. So, for those of you that have been following what's going on in Oregon, not the mine stuff, but the background checks, that was signed into law. So now they become one of, I believe, 8 states now that requires background checks on firearm transfers between private parties. Yeah, that'd make them the 8th state to require background checks on nearly all gun sales. Excuse me. Their idiot governor there says they have an obligation to protect communities from gun violence. And you really think this is going to do anything? The law takes effect immediately. It says that private gun sales between people who aren't related must take place in front of a licensed gun dealer who can run a background check. Republicans vehemently oppose the measure. It's just that they're outnumbered up there. They say it will only burden gun owners who are committed to following the law and won't change the behavior of people willing to break it. Yeah, those willing to not comply, not going to help a thing. And according to a website there, it says the bill is in effect 90 days after being signed. And in this story, it says it's effective immediately, is what the governor said. But I think we're going to see a lot more out of Oregon in the not-too-distant future. Apparently, their rally didn't help anything here the other day. Or is that even... Yeah, I think that has happened yet. Yeah, this story is brand new, just from yesterday, so... Okay, well, there you have it. We'll see what happens. There's a... what the heck? God, I hate it when my mind goes away like that. Maybe I need to listen to another song here. Maybe that'll help. Let's see here.
Inviting you to join me for the Shooting Bench PM, the evening edition. Shooting Bench PM is your source for all things guns. Guns, hunting, reloading, firearms training, competition, and a host of other firearms-related topics.
Look out, bushy tail. Tonight you'll be in the pot. Shotgun Boogie draws the beat so fine. Look out, big boy. He's loaded all the time.
The Shooting Bench PM does not include news or politics unless it is directly related to your gun rights. Thursday evenings from 9 to 11 p.m. Mountain Time.
I'll be back, little gal, when your pappy runs out of shells.
Okay, are you ready? Here's Colt Reynolds with another maximum dose of truth and common sense on the Shooting Bench.
They say heaven's at the end, but so far it's been hell, and there's fire on the mountain, lightning in the air, rolling them hills, and it's waiting for me there.
Okay. Let's carry on here. Let's change gears a little bit with some other stuff. You remember we talked about a story here on the Shooting Bench. It's been some time ago now, 6 months, maybe even a year. I don't remember. Some time ago. University of Virginia student. Remember she bought a case of water and was walking out to her car and had gotten in her car with a case of water. And there was a, some guys came up, a couple of guys came up with, that didn't appear to, they weren't uniformed or anything. They had guns and it scared her. She had to start the car to roll the window down and see what she wanted. And then she got scared. One of them jumped on the hood and everything. You remember that whole story? Well, she's suing for $40 million. Now, I have very little expectation that she's going to get that, but she's trying for it anyway. The only bad thing about it, I always hate it when they have to sue the cops. You know, it's good for the people that get the money out of it, but it's the taxpayers that pay it. You're not hurting the government any, which, you know, there ought to be some way that you could sue the people directly. I suppose there is. Evidently she just didn't do it. Sue the people individually, personally. But anyway, we'll see how it works out for her. This story's a little older now, but you know, I don't know why I even do stories like this. It seems like the answer is so obvious, so blatant, in your face, you know, an easy way to avoid this. In order to, there's a couple here, Carl and Eileen Portenza, and their daughter, 26, were attacked by six armed men in Indianapolis, 5 o'clock in the morning, October 29th, 2013. And it said that the two women, the mother and her daughter, were both sexually assaulted, while Eileen was shot, and the mother was shot twice and forced to drive to an ATM to get cash out. After hours of abuse, men fled in the family's cars, but later arrested. Four of them were recently convicted. And now the family have explained how they have been able to overcome their trauma because of it. Okay, now I don't care about how they have overcome their trauma and all that. What I care is why weren't their guns, good guy guns, involved, and why weren't there at least two or three dead thugs out there and the rest of them running for their life? You know, it's great. It's just fine that they've made it through this. How does that dad feel? He lives in a state that is fairly decent for gun ownership. It's not the greatest in the world, but it's not bad. Concealed carry permit's easy to get, and certainly you can have one in your home there. How do you think that dad feels having to sit there and watch his wife and his daughter, 26-year-old daughter, be sexually assaulted by, it doesn't say whether they all did or a couple of them did or whatever, and just have to sit there and watch? This is exactly the reason that I tell people all the time, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times I've mentioned this to people. The fact that, you know, that I don't ever want to have to say, and you guys have heard me say it before, I don't ever want to grow up, you know, today would be my little girl's 19th birthday if I'd only had my gun that day. And in this whole story, they say the brave Indianapolis family, 2 hours of hell, but months of kindness, have got them all healed up here, I guess. They've shot, robbed, raped. And it would appear to me that that would be a pretty tough one to get over. Let's see, the mother and the daughter brutally sexually assaulted, but the family, who admitted to being incredibly close, say they were determined to triumph over evil with the help of each other and their faith. You know, and that's great. I support that 100%. But, you know, in an instance like this, any case like this, you still need your faith, you still need each other to get over it, but you should have killed at least two or three of those thugs and sent the rest of them running for their life. I don't get it. I'm not understanding how all this, I don't know. Eileen recalled her brave but unsuccessful attempts to try and stop the intruders. As Mama Bear, I was thinking, I've got to do something to save our family. She tried to sprint from her bedroom to the phone at the end of the hall, but one of the men shot her in the upper leg as she ran. Why didn't you reach down for the holster on your hip and shoot him first? The commotion woke the daughter, who quickly realized what was happening, grabbed her wallet, which she offered to the attacker. Here, let me just give you a wallet here, and you just be on your way, and we'll just pretend like none of this ever happened. We won't tell nobody or nothing. So here, you just take my wallet. I woke up out of a dead sleep. The first thing I think of is grab my wallet? Really? Good Lord Almighty. She kept thinking, this is going to be over any minute. Just hang in there. But it just kept going and going. It's like an ever-ready bunny there, huh? Men went through the house smashing things and ransacking cupboards when they came up with little. One ordered Eileen to drive him to a cash machine. As the robbers turned his back, Eileen tried to seize another moment and run for the neighbor's house. However, the man tackled her.
Triple Five, the developer behind the Mall of America in Minnesota.
Why are we having somebody interrupting my
shopping and entertainment complex in Miami-Dade in Florida? The proposed mega mall would carry a $4 billion development cost and create some 25,000 new jobs if it were completed. Triple Five has dubbed it American Dream Miami.
It sure is a dream for shoppers, but this mall will
also
host
water
slides, thrill rides, dinosaur attractions, live entertainment shows.
Okay, I'm
going to
go through these window by window here.
Triple Five hasn't confirmed the new mall size, but county officials say it will be larger than the Mall of America's 4.2 million square feet. That mall brings in about 42 million visitors a year. And remains popular enough, the terrorist organization Al-Shabaab reportedly designated
okay,
it in February
Al-Shabaab
as a potential
getting
target
involved
for attack.
Here.
These days, smaller malls are less likely to claim the
same
popularity.
God,
while this lowers the chances of violent terrorism, it also is not good for their
economy.
Find
it here in a minute.
There are roughly 1,200 indoor malls in the United States, and only about a third of them are doing well, thanks to a variety of factors that have transformed the economy in recent years.
Online commerce is taking a larger bite out of the traditional mall's retail market share every year. In the recession caused big anchor retailers to stumble, speeding some smaller shopping centers on the way to becoming so-called dead malls. But all is not lost, says one Gallup analyst.
People are still shopping, I guess.
It's where they are shopping that
is
shifting.
Can't find out
where lifestyle
this
centers,
from.
For example, are growing. And for what it's worth, American Dream Miami is lifestyle
but
right about
you're
as
getting,
large as possible.
They're getting free advertising anyway. Maybe I should get a hold of them and see if I can get a couple of bucks for hosting their advertising here. I don't know if it's over for good or just for a little while, but it's over for now. Okay. yeah. Yakima Glock, that's right. Read Luke 11:22 and 22:36. 22:36, not 23:26. But anyway. All right.
Your eyes get sunburned, just like your skin. At Lens Crafters, we can fit your prescription into nearly any pair of sunglasses. Sunblock never looked this good.
Wait a minute.
Lens Crafters loves eyes.
Here's one of those things that I can't stop because it's got the Adobe Flash Player settings. I want to deny it, and it just keeps going and going and going. All right, let's see if that killed it or not. Well, let's get back here to Eileen and Allie and everybody here. At that point, I was on the ground, another guy kicking me in the head and said, all right, I'm going to do whatever it takes. I'm not going to fight anymore, is what Eileen said to the, she was raped and then with two bullet wounds, got behind the wheel of her car and drove to an ATM as one of the men sat in the passenger seat holding her at gunpoint. She said, I felt like I had a little boy with me. He had a gun and didn't know what he was doing. I teach little kids and I thought, this is a very troubled, unhappy kid. He should have been a very troubled, dead kid. You know, I'm sorry. That's just me, I guess. She asked about his life and his family, and he said his father had been shot and his mother abandoned him. Okay, that's still no excuse to go and rape people and steal their stuff and shoot at them. Eileen said how sad that all was and said that he was sorry it happened and that she wanted to help him, offering him just not just her money, but anything else that he wanted. I think it just floored him. He didn't know how to react. How to floored him, all right. Throughout the ordeal, the family had been told to keep their heads down, but in a bizarre moment, the attacker in the car said to Eileen, look at me. We looked at each other for several seconds. It was quite uncomfortable, and then afterwards I said, why do you ask me to do that? He didn't say anything. And at the house, while all this was going on, her daughter was trying to endure a violent gang-style rape, so I'm assuming that everybody got in on this. So that's the kind of things that happen, I guess, if you're not prepared to defend yourself. Now, you've got to understand, folks, these people are all cowards. They're sick, pathetic cowards. And I can virtually guarantee you they're not trained to fight. They're trained to terrorize. And, well, they're not trained. That's just something that they've practiced on their own, I guess. But when you pull a gun out, and this has been shown in so many thousand videos, you know, security videos in stores and homes, businesses of different kinds, and that when a gun comes out, you know, the bad guys are usually pretty much done with it. And I'm not saying, you know, training is a huge thing for me. But just having the gun is certainly a big step. And if they would have busted the door down and Eileen would have reached in her purse and pulled out a little 2-inch 38 or a Glock 26 or something, even if she missed, just fired a couple of rounds, I can pretty much promise you that you wouldn't have seen nothing but assholes and elbows from them people after that. You'd have never seen them again. I just don't get it. I swear it floors me. But anyway, well, I guess that's Yes, that's the way it is. Some folks just don't, I guess they just don't value their, you know, they just think it's never going to happen to them. It's not that they don't value their life and everything. That's not it at all. They just don't believe it's ever going to happen to them. And you know, when you think about it, the chances are so slim. Even though as high as the crime statistics are in some areas, it's still most unlikely that it's going to happen to you. You know, with 300 million people in the country, the chances of you drawing the short straw are just not high. But somebody draws the short straw every day. Matter of fact, they draw there's more than one of them draws a short straw every day. But still, when you look at the odds, even if it happens, 100 times a day, twice in each state every single day, that's still not very many compared to 300 million people. So, anyway. Let me go. What are we? Yeah, we're doing all right. Okay. Let me get over this here. There's an officer in Phoenix. I hate to say it. Oh, by the way, before I get started on this story, that just reminded me. There's been a list released here a week or so ago of cities that were prime targets for ISIS attacks. And Farmington, New Mexico is one of them. And I am so thinking about moving back to Farmington. Farmington is, we're about, it's a little closer to Phoenix than it is to Farmington here. We're kind of stuck. Phoenix was a target, and Farmington was a target. So, I left prematurely, it seems like. So, C7, buddy, you and Infidel, and a couple others out there, you're going to have to take up slack here and make me proud out there, would you? I want you to pile them up. Okay. Hey, Firewall just joined us. Good job. Glad to see you, buddy. And long slide, that's exactly what our Counter-Strike class is about. You know, a water glass can be a weapon. A water bottle makes a good weapon. There's wherever you're sitting right now, whatever you have around you, unless you're sitting in a padded room, there's probably some kind of a weapon within arm's reach of you that would work pretty well. But the problem is just having the resolve to do it, to use it. That is our main thing that we try to get across with the Counter-Strike class is putting all this into action. Putting it into effect. It's not a matter of how awesome a weapon you have or how big your gun is or anything else. It's a matter of, are you willing to use it? Somebody with the mindset to use a bottle of water is gonna be more likely than the person that has the 45 and scared to use it, scared they're going to hurt somebody, scared they're going to get in trouble, scared they're going to get sued, or just fear a period of hurting someone. The guy with the water bottle or the girl with the water bottle is going to win. It's just, they just have the testicular fortitude to put it to work. That's right. firewall. And C7, I don't know. You know, we may put together a, we may put together another big survival tab order here. It's about time. We haven't done that for several months, so we might do that again here before too long. We need to stay stocked up on those things. All right, let's get back to our deal in Phoenix here. This was something that's captured on video again. I don't know what it is with these cops that don't get the fact that everything they do is on video. And I guess it really doesn't matter, though, because there's just so few of them that get reprimanded in any kind of way. And is just not accountable for what they do. But this one here, it may not turn out to be as good as it sounds right now, but well, it's still not good. Let me tell you what happened here. This happened in a park in Phoenix, and the cop was caught on a surveillance video stomping the snot out of a guy, stomping his face in the ground, knocking out several of his teeth. This took place in December. And he was trying to stop this kid to question him about a homicide suspect. And he was afraid the officer would find the marijuana he had in his pocket. So he ran and ditched it as he was running. Cop caught up with him in a convenience store where the teenager was on the phone with his father. The officer told him to get down, pulled his gun on the young man. And he's seen with his hands up in compliance and was in the process of getting down on the ground when the officer is seen stomping his face into the floor of the store. And the guy said, "I just tasted the blood as soon as I spit and I realized my teeth was out." The cop was fired due to the incident. He's now fired an appeal to get his job back. And he blames this on a nation, what he claims is a nationwide threat to police officers. Now, the problem is, yes, he was fired. So what? He was fired. No charges have been filed. Nothing for assault. Nothing for unnecessary use of force or anything like that. Now, they've got an independent review has decided that it was that the force was justified. So why did it set me straight here. Help me understand this. They fire him, but they don't file charges, as the department seemed deemed the force unnecessary, but an independent review decided that it was justified. Okay, then. The jury's out on that. I'm going to have to try to figure that out. They fire him, but they decide it was justified use of force. Independent review. It wasn't the same people that fired him. But so the cop told investigators that he had a heightened sense of awareness of violence toward police because of what's happening across the nation. Now, it's interesting to note here, while all this is going on, that 43% fewer cops have been shot by suspects this year than last year at the same time, with only 8 cops being killed by a suspect since January 1st. That averages out to one about every 390 hours. In comparison, 412 people have been killed by the police in the same time frame, or another person killed by police every 7.5 hours. Now, tell me, which is the biggest danger? The use of excessive force will not be tolerated by the Phoenix Police Department, but because this case is currently being appealed, we cannot discuss the specifics and will respect the civil service process. That was the only statement they got there. He's received multiple complaints of excessive force over the years, but was only reprimanded for one after he shoved someone for getting in his personal space, you little pansy. Dedicated 17-year veteran of the force, blah, blah, blah. I don't care. I don't care if you're, I got 112 years on the force and had every commendation and wonderful medal in the world. There is no excuse for that kind of action. In long slide, you're probably right. Union will want manage to get his job back, get his back pay. Yeah. Oh, jeez. I hate this. Constitutional sheriffs would be great. I don't think it's ever going to happen. I mean, there's a few, granted, but not nearly enough. And even the ones that are, when it comes right down to, well, I guess that's kind of contradictory there. When it comes right down to it, some of the ones that claim to be constitutional actually lose their nerve because they're afraid they're going to lose their job. And don't turn out doing the right thing. Okay, well, boy, I get so flustered reading some of these stories, it just kills me. Chuck Norris has gotten in on this. Now, you guys know that Chuck Norris is a regular contributor to WorldNet Daily now, right? He writes some pretty good stories, actually. But as the Pentagon's planning on running one of the biggest military, and it says one of the biggest, it is the biggest military training exercise on American soil in history, from mid-July through mid-September. And you guys know this is Jade Helm 15 we're talking about, happening in multiple states. And Chuck Norris, like some of the rest of us, is wondering just exactly what's really going on here. In this newest article he wrote, Chuck Norris argued that while he is in no way calling into question our brave and courageous men and women in uniform, he does believe, however, that we as Americans should remain vigilant about this unprecedented operation. There's more stories, more questions, more reports about UN vehicles here and there, trucks full of them, trains full of them, tanks over here, and army trucks over there, and so much stuff going on. And we've heard several reports here just in the last day, well, particularly this morning, that the Walmart in, is it Longview? No, Livingston, Texas, has, flooded with UN trucks and all this kind of stuff. So we have one of our faithful and dedicated listeners, and if that listener wants me to mention who they are, I would be happy to, but I'm not going to unless that person tells me to. But anyway, we have a listener that's going to go check for us tomorrow and see if we can get a first-hand report of what's going on over there, and see if we can nip some of this in the bud, or let people know that there really is something happening. And there is something happening. I mean, I don't know how bad it is, but you know, when there's Walmarts out there that have supposedly closed for plumbing and still plumbing problem, and still yet have not seen plumbing trucks there, still yet have not applied for plumbing permits, still yet having operations running where water is needed. There's a particular Walmart that has their vision center and their pharmacy, I believe it is, that's still up and running, but it's closed. Now, if they have plumbing problems, what about those? Those people need to go to the bathroom, or they don't use water for anything? And why would the gas station that's attached to this Walmart be closed? What has that got to do with plumbing? I mean, hell, you can set a 5-gallon water can out there and take care of a porta potty and take care of a people. As a matter of fact, I don't know. I'm not convinced that those little houses that they have in the Walmart gas station. I don't even know if they have bathrooms in them. Most of them are so little. But at any rate, I don't know why you would close the bathroom for that. I mean, close the bathroom, close the gas station. Because they could easily put a porta potty out there and a 5 gallon can full of water, and they could still run that and still make some money. So something else is going on. I don't know how serious, how evil it is, but something is going on. There's no question about that. Now, somebody asked me today about why do you think that you would have this big show of force, the UN vehicles and everything, why would you have that stuff out there for everybody to see, knowing that people are going to react to it? They're going to say, why have all these vehicles around just to get a reaction? I mean, why would they do that? Doesn't make any sense. But I think, are they trying to figure out what we will do, just judging our reactions? I think that is a part of it, yeah. But I also think that they might do this for a while in this exercise and then stop, and nothing's going to happen. Everybody's going to get all up in arms, and then everybody's, all these places are going to go back to their base, and it's all over. And then they'll do it again and again, and nothing's going to happen. And then that way, those of us that have said that something's going to happen are all look like we're crying wolf, and nobody's going to pay any attention anymore. Then they're going to do it again. Only this time it'll be for real, and we won't be ready for it, because we've been crying wolves along here. And that makes perfect sense to me. If that, I'm not saying that's what they're going to do, but it makes sense that that could be what is happening. Because I don't see, it seems a little odd that they would parade this stuff all over the country on every cotton picking flatbed rail car and flatbed truck and stuff going up and down the road, UN vehicles and tanks and APCs and MRAPs and all this stuff, and just all over the place. It just seems a little strange to me. So the I don't know. Peanut Rider, it could be. I don't think they want to provoke us, though. I think that would be I would think that would be the farthest thing from their mind. Like I've said 100 times, if 1% of the gun owners of America would get involved in this, that is a force to be reckoned with. 1%. That's going to be pretty tough for them to take care of. So I don't know if they want to provoke us. But it could be that they're just desensitizing us. Huge amounts of money spent on huge troop movements and stuff. And then everything goes back to normal, and all the stories go away, and all the reports and all the YouTube videos are outdated, and then they do it again. And everybody gets all excited. They get a little more bold. They have a few more things out there. Then they all go back to their base, and it's all over with. And everybody just thinks everything's all well and good. And then they go and do it again. And I'm thinking after a couple, three times of that they may decide that, okay, I think they're not paying any attention anymore because we've already done this. So how about we run the real deal now? Hell, I don't know.
If she seems cold and bitter, I beg of you, just stop
and consider all she's gone through. Don't be quick to condemn her for things she might say. Just remember, life turned her that way. She's been stepped on and walked on so many times. And I hate to admit it, but that last footprint's mine. She was crying when I met her. She cries harder today. So don't blame her, life turned her that way. She's been stepped on and walked on so many times. And I hate to admit it, but that last footprint's mine. She was crying when I met her. She cries harder today. So don't blame her, life turned her that way.
Cuts both ways.
I stab people.
I know I'd be there or in there yet if I hadn't used the knife.
But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life.
And a cutting was done. The only part that wasn't bloody was the soles of the big man's feet. And he was cutting about 100 places.
He's got a knife.
That's a knife.
The first cut is the deepest. Baby, I know the first cut is the deepest.
Oh, I have all my fingers. The knife goes chop, chop, chop. If I miss the spaces in between, my fingers will come off. And if I hit my fingers, blood will soon come out. But all the same, I play this game because that's what it's all about.
I just hate stupid people.
The Liberty Lounge, brought to you every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific Time. Listen to classic country music in the Liberty Lounge to help you end your week on a pleasant note. We'll have sad songs.
I go out walking after midnight.
Happy songs.
I'm the happiest girl in the whole USA.
Patriotic songs.
There's a star-spangled banner waving somewhere in a distant land so many miles.
Songs of tragedy.
Two little boys and an old family dog. By the banks of a stream sat one day.
Love songs.
Welcome to my world.
And good old honky-tonk music.
I'm a honky-tonk man, and I can't seem to stop.
So join me every Friday night and just let your hair down for a couple of hours here on Liberty Lounge. Welcome back to the Shooting Bench.
Well, I didn't get dressed up for nothing.
All right. We're back. Let's kind of root around here and get rid of some of these stories we've been saving up for all this time. I say that every time. We always get off on other stories and never quite get finished with everything. Long slide, you know, they've said that it started particularly back in 90, well, what year was it they bombed the Murrah Federal Building in Oklahoma City? It was that year or the year before, I think it was that year, that they decided that there's rumors started going around that they would put these taggants, they called them, in powders to cause them to render them useless after a given period of time, you know, 6 months or whatever. They said the same thing about primers. And that was when we experienced one of the first real serious runs on reloading components, powder and primers particularly. And it was a very, very bad deal there for a while. But number one, it is I wouldn't say that it's chemically impossible by any means, but it's unlikely. And the biggest problem with this is the liability that the companies would have on this, not being able to, you would not be able to trust the consistency of your load. They would literally cause you to, because if they degrade after 6 months like that, they would actually have to start degrading as soon as they started loading them. And how long it had been in the can? How long has it been on the shelf? As soon as the powders were, you know, maybe they could do something to make it airtight, where when air got into the can that it would start to degrade or whatever. Well, I don't know what they could possibly do. But it did cause a tremendous amount of hoarding and getting rid of the stores off the stock off the shelves pretty quickly, and it didn't last too awful long until we finally figured out that there was just no way, and people calmed down and things returned. But that same stupid rumor comes up every year, maybe every 2 years, over and over and over. And it's came up probably at least 5 or 6 times since then. So, yeah, just ignore that. And the next time your friend tells you that, just explain to him that with the liability and the chemical process that it would take and everything, it is virtually impossible. So, the liability for that, the lawsuits and what about the people that compete and hunt and all that? And you got a load here, no real good feasible way. You'd have to take a Sharpie and mark a date on the outside of every cartridge to figure out, get an idea. So, well, I better just go ahead and shoot these up, or would it be no use shooting them up because they're not going to shoot where they're supposed to? So I got to pull all the bullets and replace the powder and primer and put the bullets back. How stupid is that? No, it's not going to happen. Sheriff said, oh, my bad. Sheriff says he claims he didn't know that his system to reward deputies for tickets was illegal. This was in, where is that? Michigan. Traverse City, Michigan. Now, if the average citizen out there got caught running a scam like this to defraud his fellow citizens out of their money, they would go to jail. They'd be arrested and thrown in jail, and even if they did say, well, I didn't know it was illegal. But if you're a sheriff, that's okay, because the guy that's responsible for all this, he said, you can All you got to do, well, I didn't know it was illegal. That's like saying, oh, I feared for my life. I mean, even though we had the 14-year-old girl handcuffed face down on the sidewalk, you know, she said something that scared me, so I shot her in the back. And that's okay. They get away with that. All they got to do is say they feared for their life. That 14-year-old girl said, if you take these cuffs off me, I'll get up here and whoop your ass. And they're going to shoot her and say, okay, well, I was feared for my life. And they get away with it. But that's just exactly what Sheriff did, Tom Bensley, in Grand Traverse County Sheriff's Department in Michigan. He was caught rewarding his deputies for writing tickets. Construction zone on US 31 didn't allow drivers to make left turns, so many of them were cutting through a nearby parking lot. So he saw opportunity there. It looked like shooting fish in a bucket. So he sent an email out to his department saying that if they wrote 5 tickets in this area, they'd get a day off. How many people do you think got tickets that they didn't deserve? I don't care what they did. I'm going to stop and give them a ticket anyway. Cop said, well, I mean, the sheriff said, we thought this would be a good method to catch people that were violating the law. See if that incentive would produce some results. Yeah, now, we talking about oath-keeping sheriffs a while ago? Constitutional sheriffs? This ain't one of them. Okay? Widely known across the country that offering an incentive or punishment for the number of citations or arrests an individual officer issues or makes is illegal. However, the sheriff, a man elected to be the supreme law enforcement authority of the town's laws, claims he didn't know he was doing anything wrong. What kind of an idiot would not know you're doing anything wrong? An officer cannot be required to issue a specific number of tickets either as part of a continued employment or part of a performance evaluation. An officer cannot be offered a fee for issuing citations. When the sheriff was confronted about this, his defense was that he didn't know he was doing anything wrong. It's our bad and we're owning up to it, said the sheriff. Alrighty there. Except he's not owning up to it. If he were truly owning up to it, he'd turn himself in for violating the law and turn in his badge and his gun. He said that would be really owning up to it. Instead, he gets out of any accountability for it. And, well, I didn't know. Okay, just let it go. We've got it fixed now. Okay, I'm not going to do it anymore. So that's all that needs to happen here. Says the money stolen from the citizens, stolen is the word that they use, who were caught in this incentive-based racketeering scandal, will be refunded. Outstanding. Well, that's very nice. I guess you guys heard there was a shooting at the mall here a few days ago. Harper Woods, Michigan. 3 or 4 gunshots fired inside the mall. You knew about that. And there was something... I was going to get that story and I forgot, but there was another one. Something happened today. Another earthquake in Nepal today, 7.5. Those poor people over there, like they hadn't gone through enough. They had an 8.2 a couple of weeks ago. And same area there, they had a 7.5 now. This earthquake thing has got me a little concerned, you know. There's, if you look at the pattern right now of all the earthquakes going on around the world and the times that they're happening, I think it's cause for a little concern. I mean, for those of you that believe what the what the Bible says, there's you know, it talks about earthquakes all this here in the last days. And there's no question, there's no doubt that we're in the last days. I mean, we've got, you know, no telling how much exact time that we have left. But, you know, it's winding down a little bit at a time. And I think that this is yet another of several indications that that is a fact. We'll see what happens. But if you're still sitting around, I've got a good friend out in California that I love him to death. He is such a nice guy, just a great, great guy. But I still don't think he's quite on board with this whole preparation thing. He is, you know, for the most part. But I know that he's not what you would call independently wealthy. He has a business that's going pretty good. But if you're going to spend, you know, $2,000 or $3,000 on a custom rifle right now, I'm opposed to that. You know, like I said, unless you can just say, okay, well, fine, I'm gonna just write you a check for $3,000 here. Just go ahead and let me know when it's ready. You know, if you can do that, great. You know, knock yourself out. And if he's in the position to do that, then fine. But if you're gonna do that, at least get it in a caliber that you can use. This guy is, he emails me once in a while and bugs me a little bit and says, oh yeah, you ought to get rid of that 308 and get to 6.5, whatever it is. And I know it's all a good-natured joke and this stuff, but, you know, this isn't the time, guys. This isn't the time. Things are falling apart around our ears as we sprecken right now tonight. Things are happening. Things are happening all over the country. And it's moving rather quickly right now. But you know, you use your own judgment and see. But you know, I'm gonna, this is one of those times when I am gonna hate to look back and say I told you so. But just for the record, just remember that I told you so, and I've been telling you so for a while. And things should be your preparations and things should be speeding up here. And figure out where you need to put your money. It's probably not in custom guns right now. It's probably not in vacations. It's probably not in bass boats, unless you live on the coast or in the Everglades or somewhere you could consider it a bug out vehicle. You know, there's a lot of things that you probably could spend your money on that'd be smarter than some of these other items. But you know, do whatever you think is best for you and your family. Doc, $6 a case? Are you kidding me? 452 AA. I could see, you know, $6 a bottle, but $6 a case? Wow. That you know, as long as they're sealed up and not look like the bottle's damaged or anything, yeah, they're good pretty much forever. But what a find, man. $6 case, 452 AA. I told you before, I've used that and used to load a lot of light handgun loads with 452 AA. It's a great versatile powder for light loads and shotgun shells. I loaded tons and tons of skeet loads with 452 AA back when I was competing quite a bit in skeet, and I used a lot of that stuff. So let me cruise down through the chat room here and see if I can get caught up on everything that's going on. Yeah, that's another thing, Yakima Glock. What's going on in Yellowstone? That could be a major problem for a large portion of the United States if that thing blows. The Yakima Glock, we'll have to sit down and talk about that when I get up there. But I guess in a way you're right. end of days started with Christ's death. I guess that's technically that's correct. But I'm trying to keep talking while I'm scrolling down through here. A whole bunch of messages in the chat room trying to catch up with Yakima Glock sold you 300 blackout. You know, that's a that'd be a tough decision. 300 blackout, I think, is a good usable caliber, but you know, where are you going to find ammo for it? It's going to be, everybody keeps saying, well, I've got all this and that stuck back. I've got all kinds. I can load 10,000 rounds. And well, you can if you're able to stay home. Can you got all that stuff packed up where you can carry it if you have to leave? I say if you have enough stuff to load 10,000 rounds, then what you need to do is load 10,000 rounds. Don't load them as you need them. Load them now and get that out of the way in case you have to abandon all that reloading equipment, destroy that reloading equipment on your way out, and be able to take the ammo with you and not leave stuff for other folks, you know what I mean? So, let's see. And Doc's got a good idea. Even if you've got just a few extra bucks here and there, you know, it's not a bad idea to buy a few guns as just investments, because there's going to come a time when any gun, if it's functional, you know, there'll be a time when non-functional guns will be worth money, even if the people know they're non-functional and there's no way to fix them. Because if you have nothing, I'll guarantee you there will be some people out there that would buy a gun even on the notion that they'll be able to bluff their way out of trouble. And it might work sometimes. I wouldn't trust it to work in a big mob of people or anything, but you know, it may work. Somebody jerks open the flap to your tent out there in the middle of the woods somewhere, and you take an old military style rifle or something that doesn't function properly, and you point it in their face and rack the bolt and issue some firm commands, then it may accidentally work. Any gun that you can buy cheap guns and stick them back, just clean them up, put them away, make sure, you know, see if they work or not. If they don't, you can fix them cheap. Well, go ahead and get them fixed. And yeah, I know you can make that from 223 brass, but that still gets back to the reloading thing, mountain shooter. I understand that it's easy to make. It's just that, are you going to have the time and everything to the means to make that? Are we going to be able to come in at 6 o'clock in the evening and have dinner and say, okay, well, I need to get reloading so I can go out and fight again tomorrow? I don't know if that's going to work for everybody. I don't know if it's going to work for anybody. So, you know, having a little bit of reloading stuff put back, if you've got some, it's been not a horribly bad idea, I guess, but you better be, you know, prepared to abandon it when the time comes. If you have to jump ship, you know. But that's, in long slide, that's your calibers right there. Yep, I would, and I would put 40 Smith & Wesson in there also. But 7.62 with 39, 308, 223, 9mm, and 40 would be the calibers that I would strive to keep the most of. And there'll be 357s around, and there'll be 30-30s, and there'll be, you know, 30-06s for a good while to come and all that. But we just, we don't have any idea how long that we're going to have to deal with this kind of stuff. And, you know, if it gets to a point where manufacturing is shut down, the power grid's down, and no way to travel, and we have to leave, then all this stuff is going to have to be destroyed. It's not going to be a happy day for a lot of folks. Pound sand, that's a good idea too. Buy 1911s as boat anchors. You can trade those to people down there in Mississippi and Louisiana and Georgia and whatever. And those people that have flat bottom boats for bug out vehicles, sell them the 1911 in case they need to stop somewhere and, and do some fishing or something. They just throw that thing overboard and do their thing with it. Let's see. Okay. Well, I think I'm about run out of things to say here. I'm about caught up on a lot of my old stories. I say old. You know, I figure if I've had them 3 days, they're getting too old to talk about anymore. So I'll. Neither one of us will be on tomorrow night. Remember, Amy's never on Wednesdays. And I will be visiting with my son tomorrow night, so I'm going to take a break on Wednesday. I will be back Thursday. Both of us will be back Thursday. Now, what's going to happen Friday, I don't know. We had another event planned, and that event had to be postponed. So I'm going to be going to the father and son's outing with the young men of the church and the Boy Scouts and go out and teach them some stuff and they wanted me to go to begin with, and I said no, I have this other obligation, and so that other obligation has gone away, so I have volunteered my time now again to go with them out to go camping. So if I have good cell service out there, there'll be a show. If I don't, there may not. But there will be a archive of Liberty Lounge on there. So I don't know if Amy or I, either one, will be on Friday, but we will have our individual shows up in the correct spots for you. We may try to do a pre-record for Amy, and I can probably see if I can con De Tinker into throwing that in for me, for Amy. So we'll do the best we can. It's just, you know, I've got obligations, I've got things I have to do. I'm sorry about that. Eddie Crump, maybe we'll throw that classic rock archive back on there for you again this week, the one we did last week. I don't know. We'll figure out something, though. If, like I said, if I have good cell service, I'll try to go ahead and do a show. But if not, we're going to have to deal with archives. So, with all that being said, it's time for me to get on out of here. I hope you all have a good evening. And we'll talk to you Thursday. Don't forget, no shows tomorrow. So, good night.
Thanks for joining us for another edition of The Shooting Bench. Please join Cope Monday through Friday for the most politically incorrect firearms information show on talk radio.
Lead, follow, or get the hell out of the way. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for you to decide who you are. Somebody should call them. Somebody should write a letter. Somebody should try and stop that. Somebody should do something. I challenge you to look in the mirror and tell me what you see. If there's somebody there, that would be you. It's time for you to do something. There is no doubt that the Constitution is hanging by a thread. It's not going to wait for us much longer.